This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome, welcome to Monday, the 10th of November.
Wow.
The third of the month is gone already. We're just burning this puppy up, you know?
Most of the year is gone.
Most of the year is gone. I know. Where did it go? Well, we always say that, and we still haven't had an answer to that question.
I know.
You know? Well, hey, Ed, since you're hearing the voice, the wonderful melodious voice of my brother, Ed Skiba.
Melodious?
Yeah, well.
I've never been called that. I've been called a lot of things. Another beautiful South Florida morning.
You know,
I had some things to hang up in the house.
Yeah.
I had to get a stepladder because I never knew my real ladder.
Okay, Ed, I've heard a lot of your jokes several times. That's the first time I've heard that one.
First time you remember?
I remember. That's right. Oh, well, that's great, Ed. And Ann Lomhoko couldn't be with us today. She had some other things to do, so we'll hopefully see her next week. But today I want to introduce our guest, a guest that we've had on the air with us many times, Donna True with the Martin County Council on Aging, stationed at the Kane Center out there off Salerno Road.
Yes.
And Donna, this is by the way, that November is Alzheimer's Month, and we focus on those concerns and the people who are dealing with them. And glad Donna can come because every time she shares something, people say, "I didn't know that," and I'm going to do something about it because most everybody, I'm going to say this, I think with a reasonable degree of authority, most everybody who's listening today, their life has been touched by Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. Either you have it, you've been diagnosed, and maybe in the early stages, and you're wondering what to do. You're a loved one that has someone in your life who has Alzheimer's dementia. Or you're a friend or a family member, and you know your life is touched to one degree or another because of that. And so it's always important. That's why we, at least once a year, we bring Donna here to kind of talk about the important things we need to know about Alzheimer's. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit in the beginning about what it is and the impact it has. And we're going to move into talking to caregivers because you're the folks that are front line caring for your loved ones. And you probably some things you're going to hear today for the first time that are going to be helpful to you. Probably the first thing is you can't do this alone. At a certain point, you cannot do this alone. And we're going to be then, Donna's going to share resources and opportunities and such as that. Donna, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here. And it's a great opportunity to help people get some education out here and increase awareness. It makes a huge difference for the caregivers and the people who are experiencing memory loss disorders.
Amen. And the other thing, Donna, the Council on Aging, Martin County Council on Aging, has several resources available to Alzheimer's sufferers and their loved ones, or caregivers particularly. And we're going to be talking about some of those today, things that I'm sure most listeners aren't even aware of that's available to them. Now, before we go any further, and I know we've talked about this before, Donna, but we are broadcasting into 12 counties into Florida. And so we have listeners that are saying, well, Martin County, you know, does she really have anything to tell me because I live in Palm Beach or Broward or Brevard or something like that? And the answer is yes, because what she's going to share with you are resources that are available no matter where you are.
Yes.
And facts that are going to be pertinent to you no matter where you are.
Yes.
And also, but when the push comes to shove, Donna, and people say, I got to call somebody. In every county, there's a Council on Aging, right?
Yes, and also Area Agency on Aging, which is a level above all of the different local county agencies.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who distribute the monies to families in need.
Oh.
It's an expensive illness.
Yeah, yeah, really. And the fact there's money available is a good thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So what I'm saying is we're going to be directing you to You can actually, if you need guidance, if you need resources, if you want to know what's available to you, how to get help, your local, your county-based or the air regional-based entities are there for you, and they're actually waiting for your call because that's what they're designed to do.
Yes.
So we'll get back to that. Well, Alzheimer's, we've all had experience with it. You deal with it all the time. Ed and I were hospice chaplains. Many of our patients had Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but help. The very beginning, we've got some people that are just now discovering that this is part of their life.
Yeah.
So what would you tell them about Alzheimer's dementia?
In the very beginning, I would suggest talk to somebody, get some help, find a little bit of information about what are the next steps. For example, a doctor might just give you a diagnosis, but they don't often give you resources. Okay, what do I do now? My spouse has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or a related dementia, whether it might be Lewy body dementia or something similar, vascular dementia, which is not Alzheimer's, but it is dementia. Okay, then what next? A lot of times in the very early stages, the person is still driving. They might be still working, especially if it's MCI, which is mild cognitive impairment, which is not quite yet dementia, might not ever be. But it's people are forgetting things a little more than normal for their age. So there is a difference because as we get older, we all start to forget some things, just like our skin changes, our hair color changes, all those things change. So do our brains, so do our memories. But this is a type of memory loss that goes a step beyond that. It's a little more of a pattern and a couple of other things thrown in there, especially if it's dementia.
Yeah, and again, there's more than one version, but there are some common signs of dementia. What are some of those that the people need to look out for?
The hallmark symptom is short-term memory loss, not long-term. If you were in World War II or whatever, and you remember that perfectly, that's a different type of memory that is stored in a different part of the brain, whereas this you would see maybe somebody asking the same question repeatedly, and you've answered that question like 100 times already. Or there can be some problems with paying bills, and somebody's power gets turned off or their water gets turned off. It's like, what happened? You didn't pay your bill? Oh, yes, I did. But they didn't. They didn't realize it. Or sometimes it's the bank notices things. People are coming in every day checking on their balance. They're not able to handle their money so well anymore. That can be in a very early stage. So we have to really be proactive. And one of the things I always ask about is, I don't care if you're over any age over 18 or 21, you already need a durable power of attorney, something like that gives somebody the right to help you make decisions for you if ever needed. And especially if you have a diagnosis with that's some type of memory loss disorder, you want that taken care of now. Otherwise, you won't be able to get that.
I think that's the difficulty with that is people that are in the age that's susceptible to dementia of any kind also are very protective of their independence.
Yes, absolutely. They have to have somebody that they really trust.
Exactly, and even at that, they hesitate to do it, you know. That's the experience I've had with the folks at hospice. You need to have somebody, but you don't understand. I've got to be able to be in charge of something.
And they really will continue to be in charge. But if you don't make a choice, like if something happened to you, Ed, do you have somebody picked out who will make your decisions and not necessarily a spouse? They don't automatically have the right to make all the decisions for you. So if you don't pick out who you want, guess who does? The state you live in. It'll be by statutes.
And people that want to maintain their independence, the last thing they want is a state picking out, making their choices for them.
So it's a great way to honor the person's wishes.
We know this topic for many people is uncomfortable. I have personal experience. Even after several years as a hospice chaplain and so many of my patients had, when my sister, when we found out that she was actually, when her husband died, she couldn't go back home. We didn't realize, because we live away, far enough away, we didn't see her every day. And when we'd call, she'd answer the phone, but her husband would be pitching in the background when she'd be saying things. But he'd been doing that for years, so I didn't notice anything. But then when he died, she had a, she was actually in the hospital with a heart, mitral valve replacement. And so we noticed when she was getting out of, you know, anesthesia and everything, that she was still, there's a lot of, I thought it was brain fog, but it turned out to be, we did not know she had an Alzheimer's diagnosis. They didn't talk about it. So suddenly she went to, she moved in with a stepson, one of her youngest stepson, who was a wonderful guy that took care of her until his wife was diagnosed with stage four lung cancer. So he had her to take care of. He had a business to run. He had, they had a six-year-old daughter. Suddenly he couldn't take care of her anymore. And her other, her regular, her blood kids weren't interested in helping. So we stepped up. We took her into our home. It was like overnight. Even though, thank God, I'd had experience. My wife had also worked in a nursing home, so she had plenty of experience. But still, it was suddenly a life-changing moment for us. And we loved her. And because, you know, you, when you love someone, you do things that you automatically know are going to be challenging for you. But here's the thing. We're, a lot of our listeners today, maybe you're not facing that particular kind of moment where Alzheimer's moves into your house and all that goes with it. But you may be starting to notice loved ones, mom, dad, sister, brother, whatever, people who are exhibiting some of these signs. And it's not the time to go into denial, right? It's the time to suck it up, buttercup, which is what I was told to do. And I believe it. Suck it up and do what has to be done for the sake of your loved one who still needs, going to need help as they, as everybody navigates this very difficult and declining situation for them.
And if somebody has not been diagnosed with anything yet, you're seeing some things and you're not sure what's going on, I highly recommend either get a, start with a free memory screening. We have them, every county probably has them somewhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of time it's a research group that will do that. So wherever you are, there's something out there for you. But get a good workup done by most likely a neurologist. Your primary care doctors aren't necessarily tuned into dementia. And with age being the biggest risk factor, if at age 85 you go in and you complain about memory changes, they might be saying, well, what do you expect? You're 85. But you want somebody who takes it a step further, because guess what? There are reversible causes of memory changes. Depression is one of them. And I wonder, too, you mentioned with your sister, her husband had recently died and she had surgery. So between the depression, possible depression with the death of her husband, her routine was completely changed, the anesthesia from the surgery that she had. She had some complicated factors in her life, and then the moves and everything else. And people are able to present very well. We call it company manners. The person with the memory changes can be very good for 5 minutes. So when they go to the doctor, oh, everything's fine. Do you remember? How's your memory? My memory is great.
You always feel better when you go to the doctor.
Well, actually, when I leave. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yes.
So, and these are, yeah, these are subtleties. But what's important, I think, is if there's any question or concern about someone that you know and love, to, now, if it's someone, it's a member of your family, you're going to have more in a position to do something. If it's a neighbor, and maybe the neighbor lives alone, and you've sort of friends, and you're starting to notice things. And that's good, but there's a lot of people who live alone in Florida, and many are elderly or up in years. I guess I'm elderly now, too. 75 is elderly. Yeah, we're all, there we go.
We're all there.
But that we have people that are, for whatever reason, are they're wonderfully independent and all of that. And neighbors notice things. What can someone who's not a family member, has really no authority in another person's life, what would we recommend those people do if they notice something's off?
Actually, at the Council on Aging where I work, Martin County, I get phone calls quite frequently of neighbors concerned about somebody. And sometimes they know a family member that would allow, we could speak with a family member. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have some outreach, and different agencies have outreach where they can go to the home and do a check. And then, of course, we have the state if there's possible self-neglect mm-hmm. going on, or if there's exploitation going on. We see that a lot, too. People with in the early stages are very vulnerable. They might give away finances. They might have somebody move in with them that cleans them out, changes the deed on their house. There's so many different things. Mm. So we always have the state Adult Protective Services as well, who has the power to make things happen. They can get help lined up, Area Agency on Aging. We might have somebody that will actually just go to the home and see for themselves and talk to the person, find out what's needed, and get them some help. And they're often resistant to getting help. Yeah. As Ed mentioned, people want to stay independent. And we honor that, and we recognize that. But there's a fine line about safety.
Between independence and safety,
And that's often the fulcrum upon which everything else balances is... Right. We had a neighbor back in when he lived in Gainesville for a while, and neighbor lived on the down the street, and we'd gotten to know her. She was a lovely lady, lived with her son, emotionally disturbed young man, but we noticed, this was after we'd been there about 5 or 6 years, she was walking down the street in a dirty nightgown with her hair all messed, you know. And so I haven't noticed this. I went out and talked, and I said, what's going on? She was totally clueless. We didn't see this because we didn't see her all the time. Her son lived in the house with her, but he was not focused on, but she was wandering. And so we had a neighbor that knew some family, and they called the family, and that got the ball rolling. But now let's say, and I think this is important to ask this question, let's say, listener, you're a neighbor of someone that is beginning to show signs of dementia, or you're curious and concerned, and you don't know any of their family, other neighbors, maybe you've queried them about, do they know anybody? Nobody knows if they have any family, but something's going on and it's a matter of concern. How can they call law enforcement?
I was just going to say, in the case of your neighbor up in Gainesville who was out walking in her nightgown, and, I mean, you could tell it was not normal. Mm-hmm. And that definitely would be a 911 call to the police, to law enforcement, who I know in our local area, I know in Palm Beach County, there's been a lot of training of law enforcement and first responders, so they know how to respond to somebody who might be having cognitive issues.
And that's due to the demographic, there's so many retired.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you might want to call the police and see what's going on. It's a tough situation because help isn't always readily available, but sometimes a distant relative shows up. But again, Adult Protective Services can force a move if there's nobody that will step up to the plate and they're not safe at home alone, and they can make it happen that they go to an assisted living facility or a skilled nursing facility, which most people don't want that to happen. But
I can appreciate that. There comes a point when the circumstances that this loved one is facing, if something is not done for their safety, it's going to end badly.
Yes, it's very tricky because you wonder with short-term memory loss, and we always hear about somebody leaving the something on the stove, and they walk away and they forget about it. And people who are living in places that they share walls, they share, they might be above, below. I mean, leave the water running, leave the stove. That's a danger to the entire neighborhood.
It is. Many times fires have started, burned an entire home down, and some people have, the residents who didn't, they were the ones dealing with dementia all alone, and they died in the fire. Yeah. That's the worst case scenario.
I've dealt with that several.
I would imagine you fire rescue chaplain at one point.
And here in
EMS.
Yes. And in Martin County, our Martin County Fire Rescue, they'll go out to the home and put in smoke detectors and things like that. Yes, they're wonderful. Yeah, they will do things like that for the families at no cost to them. Yeah.
They really are. And if we're being a little, if you're kind of shocked because we're being a little direct here, think of the consequences. Mm-hmm. If we can help somebody get out of a difficult, dangerous situation that they're in because they don't know any better because of the dementia. They've lost their ability to make decisions. We are, you know, what did Cain say when God challenged him with Abel's death? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer is yes.
Of course we are.
Yes, no. We are. And under certain circumstances, we can't ignore that responsibility.
No. Right. And I think we're talking a little bit about worst-case scenarios here.
We are. Well, we certainly are.
Yes, yeah. And life is different on an everyday basis.
Well, on an everyday, yeah, sure it is. But if we don't deal with something when we can and when we should in the early stages, things will deteriorate. And so let's avoid that by moving now. Anyway, let's take a little break, okay? And then we'll be back, and we'll be focusing. I think we'd like to focus on the caregivers when we come back a little more.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
This is Jonathan McLean, General Manager of WCNO Christian Radio. We just completed Prayer and Share, October the 6th through the 17th. Many of you joined us during those days. We had an awesome time of celebrating the goodness and faithfulness of God. We are so close to reaching our goal. If you have not sent in your donation yet, you can go online to WCNO.com or you can call us at 772-221-1100. God bless you, and thank you for your continued support of WCNO.
And welcome back to The Front Line. And today the front line is Alzheimer's dementia, and we have Donna True with us from the Martin County Council on Aging. And if you're just tuning in, grab a pencil or a pen, whichever your favorite instrument is, right? And so a nice.
I play guitar.
You play guitar. Well, that's great, Ed. If you can write with that, great.
That was quick.
Because you'll want to. You can make some notes and especially contact information. And I'm going to give. Let's go ahead and Donna and give your contact information. Even though Donna works for the Martin County Council on Aging. Every county has something, the same type of entity that can offer the same type of services.
Yes.
And so what you're hearing from Donna today is available to you wherever you live within our listening area or anywhere in Florida if you're listening online.
Mm-hmm.
So how can, but you've also said in the past, if someone outside of the Martin County wants to call you, that you'd be happy to get their call.
Absolutely, and people have called me, and I love that.
Yeah. So how can they reach you, Donna?
My direct line is 772-223-7879. That goes right to my desk. But our general number, in case I'm out doing something like a radio show, our general number to reach a human is 772-223-7800. That is our main line. You can get anybody, whether it's Meals on Wheels or adult daycare. You can reach all of our staff.
Fantastic. And then I see you have an email address here, too.
Yes, absolutely. They can email me. My name is Donna True, so my email is D for Donna, True, T-R-U-E, at COAMartin.org. So that stands for Council on Aging, Martin, donnaclark.org.
And I think to promote, Donna is also a programmer here at WCNO, and she has a brief, it's like a two-minute program, but it kind of raises one point about Alzheimer's dementia or older care, elder care, and it's called True Reflections on Aging, and that plays on a random basis, so we might get it twice a day, you know, for forever. I guess when Jesus comes back, I can't guarantee. But until then, and there's several of these programs that rotate, and that they're just kind of, when you listen, it tickles your interest because maybe it's talking about something that's just happening in your life.
Yes.
And so this is a wonderful blessing that Don is able to provide, and we put them on the air.
And I'm grateful for that.
Oh, and so many people have called in. It's awesome. It's a God thing, you know, that.
Yes.
Because so many people are, I said in the beginning of the program, almost everybody within our listening audience right now, your life has been impacted or to some degree by Alzheimer's dementia. Let's look at, until the next break, we have some time to delve into talking about caregivers for a moment. We have a lot of caregivers in Florida. Husbands, wives, children, aunts, uncles, I mean, a whole family scene. And then we have some people that are, they're not blood kin, but they have such a strong connectivity to the Alzheimer's dementia patient that they're involved in their care.
Yes.
So talk about caregiver. Wonderful people, but they have needs too.
Yes, absolutely. And we're always telling caregivers the importance of caring for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that they can care well for the people they're caring for. And their response is often, mm-hmm. How am I supposed to do that? I don't have time to do that. I don't mm-hmm. have time to go to my doctor. I don't have time to do that. So we try and educate them about some resources that will give them a little bit of time, give them what we call respite, a little break, and give them time away so they can take care of themselves. It's so important. But, you know, the state of Florida, we're second. Of all the 50 states, we're second in terms of numbers of people with Alzheimer's or a related dementia. So in the state of Florida, we have about a little less than 600,000 people, which because of our concentration with age being the biggest risk factor, at age 85, it's almost 1 in 2.
Yep. Wow.
But it's also 1 in 2 who don't. Have dementia. So you got to look at the positive side. You can't concentrate on that. Just want to be aware. But with those numbers, and as you mentioned earlier, we always have area agency on aging. Every state in the United States has an area agency on aging, even if it's named something a little bit differently. But if you're computer savvy and you Google area agency on aging and you put in your county or your state, it's going to come up with an answer. You just want to make sure that it's one of the legitimate ones, not something that is sponsored. Somebody, and they have funding from their state to provide help and services for caregivers. But I think with caregivers, if you're taking care of somebody with a memory loss disorder, it's very important to learn there is a new set of rules.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to learn the new set of rules. One is do not argue. If somebody says something and it's absolutely untrue, if you keep correcting them, they're eventually going to stop talking to you. They're going to get angry. They're going to get frustrated. And sometimes you have to pick and choose your battles. Like we've all heard that before. Yeah. But does it matter at that moment? If you're trying to provide factual information to a doctor, you want to somehow intervene so the doctor gets the right information. For example, your spouse takes a fall and you're worried because they hit their head, so you take them to a medical place, medical facility, and the people there are questioning the person with the memory loss disorder, and the person with the memory loss disorder answers the question, oh, I never fall. And you're screaming in your head. It's like, oh, my gosh, they just fell and they hit their head on concrete block. And so you have to really think about those things. When is it important? When is it not? If they're saying, I've never been in this restaurant before, and they've been there every week for the past 10 years, You let it go. It's like, oh, well, I'm sure you'll love it. You know, you come up with a different way to answer. Because if you don't learn how to enter the world of the person with a memory loss disorder, it's going to be chaotic. And your blood pressure is going to go up as well as theirs.
In my experience, my mother-in-law dealt with that out in Missouri, and she was 91, 92. My wife and her sister could not sit down and have a conversation with her because they wanted to focus on reality. I sat down with her. We talked for over an hour, had a great time. My mother-in-law smiled the whole time. My wife said, "What the heck did you talk about?" I said, "Anything she wanted to."
Oh.
I just listened to her, and I just went right along with her. And it just seemed to totally put her at ease.
That's so perfect.
Yeah, but what my point to that is, I think that relatives are so close to the situation that, and again, we go back to denial. It's not a river in Egypt.
Yeah, right.
It's actually a situation that the family has. They don't want to see their loved one in that state, so they deny it to the last minute rather than trying to help.
It's very painful to think about that. And I have to mention something else. A lot of times I'll get the call from the spouse or the family member of somebody who has been diagnosed or they know there's memory loss, but the person who's going through those changes completely lacks insight. It's called anosognosia. It's not denial. It's not that they know about it and they're hiding it or they're keeping it buried. It's that their brain is changing, so they lack insight. So they truly do believe they're okay.
Yeah.
And you cannot convince them. I don't care if the doctor just told them 3 minutes ago, you have Alzheimer's disease. We did a PET scan and we see the amyloid plaque in your brain. They're going to say, that doctor's crazy. They don't know what they're doing.
I think it's a natural defense mechanism built into us.
They can't. They just can't see it.
You know, I was going to tell people they can call in, you know, if they want, ask a question of Donna. I'm going to do that. But my good brother Michael sent me a text because he said he share with listeners that there is, and this is in Fort Pierce, so St. Lucie County, Alzheimer's Daycare, and the email is www.alzcare.org.
Oh, beautiful.
And so that's www.alzcare.org. And we'll be talking about other ways you can find resources, but thank you, Michael, for sending that, brother.
Yes, appreciate Michael, that's actually Alzheimer's Community Care. It's an agency that covers Palm Beach, Martin, and St. Lucie counties.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they have wonderful adult daycare centers, as well as us at the Kane Center Council on Aging. We have our daycare center in Martin County only. Mm-hmm. And Palm Beach has a lot of daycare centers. Indian River also.
And while there's a fee for that, there can be some offset.
Yes, that's when area agency would come into play. If people need a sliding scale fee, that they're able to help with that. There happens to be a wait list in the state of Florida, but the sooner you call, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, if somebody's a veteran, Veteran Services helps a lot of people at our agency. They can help pay for it. If you have long-term care insurance, sometimes they cover. And sometimes it's as simple as a scholarship. People are really in need. They can't afford it. They're on a waiting list. And when there are extenuating circumstances, we can help with scholarships. And I'm sure other agencies can as well.
When my sister reached that point where she needed that and we were able to get a partial scholarship to, you know, what a blessing, because my wife was the one, I mean, I was working. My wife was the one at home taking care of her full time. And she needed breaks, you know. And so we finally were able to get her there for the mornings. And then I gave my wife a chance to do what she needed to do, you know.
Catch her breath, basically.
Catch her breath.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think it's important just to say, because of this, that if you're beginning to be a caregiver right now, is work with, and I'm going to say your Council on Aging, because if you're just a now beginning caregiver, we have people like Donna. You can sit down with them and basically chart out what your needs are going to be down the road, because in most cases, your loved one doesn't get any better.
Right.
And I wish that were not true. And in some cases, maybe there's a reversal or whatever. But for most cases, Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease.
Yes.
And your caregiving is only going to get more intense. So if today is the beginning of your care for somebody, sit down with someone like Donna that knows what your future probably looks like and begin to make a list of the resources that are available, whether you need them now or not.
Right.
Is you need now to know what you're probably going to need tomorrow or the next day.
Yes. And even though the disease, if it is Alzheimer's, it's slowly going to get worse over time, but the situation can get a whole lot better when the caregiver learns the new rules, how to go along with it, how to enter their world, how to keep them safe, things like that. It's become so much less stressful. And a lot of times that's through a support group as well. Yeah. There's nothing like the expertise of other caregivers who are going through this.
You made a statement there, enter their world.
Yes.
That's an interesting concept that we have to understand because they are in a different world.
Yes.
And they don't know it.
Yes. And they caregivers get stuck with having to be the ones to change. They cannot change their loved one with a memory loss disorder.
Mm, exactly.
It's not going to work.
Nope.
And once they accept that, it's so much better, and they learn how to cope in a whole different way.
Yeah. And I think learning how to cope and learning how to I hate to use the word evolve, but evolve into the world that the patient is in really reduces the trauma of losing that patient to dementia. Mm.
Yes. And you explained that perfectly with your mother-in-law, how you entered her world. You went with, go with the flow, whatever she wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And she loved it. And you know what? You made her feel important. You made her feel heard.
Exactly.
And that doesn't often happen. We tend to discount people. They are not stupid because they have Alzheimer's. They are not less than. We have to treat them with dignity and respect and make them feel important. I mean, just think, President Ronald Reagan, I think he changed the world when he made his announcement in 1994 that he had Alzheimer's disease.
Yep.
Yeah.
Suddenly people were more aware.
And it takes sometimes someone of that prominence, you know, to get everybody else's attention because they're going to be behind. Look at Michael J. Fox with Parkinson's.
Yes. Mm.
Another person who decided, you know, to share with the world what he was going through in the hopes of helping people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're doing right now is sharing what we know and inspiring people in the world. A couple of minutes before the next break. And I want, we're on the area, we're talking about caregivers. You talked earlier before the air. We went on the air about scams.
Oh yes.
That that people are scammed, either people with dementia or their caregivers. But let's talk a little bit about that, Donna.
Okay. And I work closely with Martin County Sheriff's Office and Stewart Police Department. These scammers are so smart, but they are getting people to send cash to P.O. boxes, go withdraw $20,000, put it in a box, and pick up your BMW down in Palm Beach County, whatever, things like that, where people are getting scammed because many times in the earlier stages, people aren't aware that something is going on with their brain, and they're falling for the scams because they can no longer discern between what is real and what isn't. And you have somebody who was told to get gift cards, a younger person, and they did.
And they did, and they fell right into the scam, because they thought it would be beneficial to their spouse at the time, and just their judgment was completely clouded.
So you have to be very careful with emails, with phone calls, with everything else. It's very scary what the scammers are doing these days. Mm-hmm. And it's not that the people are living under a rock when they fall for it. A lot of times it's because their brain is changing for whatever reason. Nobody's quite aware of it yet. And you want to prevent things and put things in, put safety measures in place. Even something as simple as alerts on if you have a smartphone anytime a charge is made or something in your bank account, get an alert so that you know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I have that.
And that's, we were scammed some time ago when we had to do a new bank account and everything. And when we did, you know, I opted out for the fraud alert. So, or the, every time something happens on my account, I get a notice.
Right.
And I like that. But it is an issue for a lot of people. It's happening a lot.
Yeah.
It's very scary. My mom got scammed in New York. She got that phone call. She knew not to give her Social Security number out, but they kind of used her.
Okay, Ed, remember which button to push there, buddy? There you go. Nope, that's not it. There we go.
Oh, that's. I think they have to pick it up out there.
No, no. It's being sent right in here.
Which button?
Okay.
One ringy-dingy.
I'm pushing. Oh,
no.
I got it.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, no. Caller, you're on the
air. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
No.
Oh, sorry if we missed you. Call back, please.
Okay, caller, just call back.
Okay, I got the right button, though. Yeah, I got the right button.
That's it.
Right. That's the one I had, and okay, I just...
It'll come back.
Yep. It's coming in out there.
Yep, that's...
Jonathan's transfer it.
He'll transfer it again. Okay, yep. Caller.
Okay.
Yeah, well, technologically, considering we've been... There we go. Hit that button, Ed. Hey, well, caller, you're on
How
the air.
How about now?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. I just wanted to remind you to make sure that the person with the memory or dementia does their legal protection as soon as possible before they're unable to make decisions.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Very good.
That's a great point.
Okay.
We appreciate
that's all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless. That's okay. Do you want to hit that button? Oh, it just went off. Okay.
What happens in the state of Florida if somebody doesn't have their legal documents and many times you don't really need them. It's like an umbrella in Florida. If you have it with you, great. If you don't have it, you're in big trouble.
Yeah,
and
really.
And so if you don't have a durable power of attorney, which is still intact after a person gets dementia, if a decision has to be made, such as selling the home, they're on the deed, they're on the title, they can't sell their home unless they sign the paperwork, and they're too advanced to do that, it ends up going to guardianship, which is many, many, many thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go to the court. Mm-hmm. You have to answer to the court for every cent, every money that you spend.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's very, very complicated. Yeah. It's so tough. So I highly recommend not that.
You know, talking to most, I'll tell you what, let's hold on to this thought. It is a break time, and we'll come back. I want to talk more about that because issues of wills, you know, and trusts and stuff like that, they come into the foreground when you have someone that's dealing with Alzheimer's.
Now
Hey, we've got a call coming in. Oops, hang on just a minute, caller. We got some background music for your telephone call.
David, you're still doing well on those drums.
Well, it's the way the board's set up. Hey, okay, caller, welcome.
Good morning, Pastor David, Ed, and Miss Donna True. This is Anne Marie, and I personally had spoken with Donna True, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for your heart and your compassion, you know, for the subject, and truly also, Pastor David, you sharing your experience. This is really ringing true for our family. our mom had had some cognitive challenges. Sorry. My parents live long distance away in Massachusetts, and I've been looking at the necessity of trying to keep in contact with my sister, who's been trying to do the care up in Massachusetts, but we're trying to get them down for the cold weather here in Florida. Mm. And my question is we've noticed some very significant changes of where my mom is kind of waking up like at midnight and different hours, and unfortunately it's impacted our dad. And so as he's been trying to step in and being caregiving, it's been challenging for him as well, and my sister's beginning to see that maybe that's making an impact on our dad at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is we're trying to figure out where she is in the spectrum of that dementia, where the next steps for what's going to be needed related to caregiving is at.
Okay, first of all, Anne-Marie, I want to thank you so much for your beautiful words. You made my day, so thank you for that. Yes, thank you very much. Now, if you Google Dr. Riseburg, which is R-E-I-S-B-U-R-G, he lists seven stages, and he breaks it down into the behaviors that you're going to see. It kind of gives you a general overview of where your mom would be at. But what I'm hearing is we have to watch out for your dad. And he is losing sleep. And you cannot be up day and night. So how is he going to get a break? How is he going to get some sleep? Because your mom's internal time clock might have reversed. She staying busy during the day? A lot of times we've talked about a little bit about daycare. When people are active during the day, just like with little children, they run around and they play all day, so they sleep better at night. If she's able to be up day and night, that's different. But your father can't be. And sometimes people even live separately, or they stay in separate rooms, or they get help throughout the night in order to let somebody else be awake so he can...
Right. My sister has been able to... They applied for the Medicaid through with the state of Massachusetts, and we're looking for them to be able to come down during the wintertime by an invitation. And so I'm in the midst of trying to get that transition in place, because I don't want this to all fall on her shoulders. And I know she's got her own situations of her own family. And but I do understand what you're saying as far as the need of being able to have her watch in the evening hours. And I think that's one of the other things that I've been talking with my sister about, is that is probably the timing now for this to even become more what's needed for the near future. And I just want to thank you that you're willing to look at circumstances unique to the families and help them be able to put a plan together. That's like a godsend, Donna. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. And think about the long term. The change in routine can be upsetting to your mom. If she comes down here, you might see a little bit of a setback and everything. But it usually smooths out over time. But remember this, Medicaid is a state program. So if she qualifies for Medicaid in Massachusetts, doesn't mean she will qualify for Medicaid in Florida. We're very different. It's federal monies, but each state decides. They have their own application process, so it won't easily transfer, you know, not just you have to go through some steps.
But she does have Medicare also.
Medicare, actually, they only have one program that helps caregivers, which is amazing. It's called GUIDE, G-U-I-D-E. And they're actually paying for some respite. So if they have, the old-fashioned, not Advantage, but old-fashioned Medicare A and B, you probably have a GUIDE provider, and they actually help pay maybe a little over $2,000 in respite, which would be help at home or help in a daycare. So they have just started doing this. It's only about a little over a year and a half old, this program. Never in its history has Medicare done anything like this for caregivers. And we do have that program at the Kane Center.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super.
Okay.
But we can talk privately.
I may be calling you also on a personal guidance. So
please.
Thank you so much, Donna. And thank you, Pastor, for having her as a guest on your
program. Oh, certainly welcome.
I love you all very much.
Love you, Anne Marie. Thank you so much for calling. Take care. Bye. Bye. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Well, thank you. That was great. And right on. You know, that was a very pointed need there.
Love the calls.
Well, we have a little time yet. I'm looking at the clock. I hate to watch the clock, but it's something I've done all my life. So it's like I really know how to do it. But we do have time. I want to. We may shift back to what we've been talking about, but you have some events coming up at the Kane Center.
We do.
That I think is important to share. What the events are, who would benefit by going, and how they can get in more information.
Well, if anybody can make it to Stewart, we're right on Salerno Road.
Yeah.
But on, let's see, Thursday, November 20th, we have an event called Knowledge is Power. And one of the things we talked about today were the legal documents and the importance of that. And during that presentation, we're actually going to have an attorney, Nancy Ferraro, speak in, as well as some other people. We have three other guest speakers. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is RSVP to our main number. It's Thursday, November 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Kane Center in Stewart. And I'll give the RSVP number at the end. I'll just mention a couple of other things. You, Reverend Dave, you also mentioned Parkinson's and Michael Fox. Mm-hmm. And we actually have Dr. Henry Moore coming up from Boca to speak at our Kane Center on Friday, November 21st from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. So that's going to be, it's all about Parkinson's disease, present and future. So it's always good to find out what's happening, what's going on in the medical world. So we really look forward. He's never been here before, so we look forward to that. Mm. And then this Friday, well, let me give you the RSVP number for those two events.
Okay.
772-223-7800. And I'll repeat that because I've had calls. I was in my car. I couldn't write down your number.
Yeah,
and they
call
the radio
station.
Yeah. It's 772-223-7800.
And if you're one of those people and you're saying, well, I can't remember, but if you call the station too, we can give you that number.
Which is fantastic, yes. Yep. And then the other event, which is open to anybody, is also at the Blake Library this Friday from 12 to 4 p.m. We'll have a variety of speakers, a variety of different things. It's called the Alzheimer's Awareness Senior Wellness Fair 2025. Patches, the therapy dog from Martin County Sheriff's Office, is going to be there. Special guest speaker, Dr. Jemima Duje she's from Tampa, and she's going to be talking about the differences or the over-the-counter meds and prescription meds. Mm. It'll be good, dangerous mixtures of herbals and prescriptions. So she should be very interesting. And you can come and go. Martin County Fire Rescue will be there. They'll have free smoke alarms and bicycle helmet safety fittings. There'll be a raffle, all kinds of great things. That's Friday, November 14th at the Blake Library on Monterey Road. And you don't even have to RSVP. Just show up.
Just show up.
Yeah.
And that's this Friday.
Yes, this Friday.
So the days are rolling into it real quick.
Yeah, mid-November.
That sounds like a neat event. No, they all do, actually.
Well, I'll give you the flyers. Leave
them with us, and then people call, and someone here. Today it's just me and the manager, but...
yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much. And the other thing is, if you are in Martin County and you... We have the Kane Center, which is where Donna works, and tremendous resources at the Kane Center. A lot of stuff going on all the time. And what's the Kane Center's website address?
Kane Center is COA for Council on Aging, COA Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N dot org, O-R-G. Okay. Did I tell you we started a men-only caregiver meeting?
No, you didn't.
Oh, it is, it's, we've had it for about a year, and the men sit in the boardroom, and they talk things over, and they solve problems together, and they are
good.
They always come out smiling. I don't know what happens in there, but
it's got to be good.
No ladies allowed, and they talk about their issues, and we have a variety of people. We have a medical doctor who facilitates the group, and it's been really awesome, but you have to be there in person.
Well, and nothing wrong with that. You know, you really get something out of it. And I would say the Kane Center has so much to offer. I want to promote the Kane Center because now if you're in another county, most Council on Aging have facilities that you can go to, facilities where you can take advantage of this courses.
Oh, yes.
Various, you know, if you're retired, let's just say I'm talking to retirees right now, and I'm one of you, right? And like most of us, you know, you whatever you did, you're not doing it anymore, and you are bored. Or maybe you're not bored. If that's the case, God bless you, because you're in better shape than I was. But you, there are things to do there at, for every interest.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And our libraries actually are fabulous here, Palm Beach County, all over. The libraries are really good. They have a lot of educational things, as well as the Councils on Aging. And then you can also call Area Agency on Aging. You can look them up. But I can give you the number for Martin, St. Lucie, Okeechobee, Indian River, and Palm Beach County. That Area Agency covers all those counties. And that number is 866-684-5885. And that's a helpline, 866-684-5885. And that's also the gateway to sliding scale fee services for people who can't really afford private pay help at home. It's quite expensive these days, but there's help. There's help. There's hope.
Amen. Yes, and that people need to hear that.
Yes.
We're blessed to, and certainly in Florida and in Martin County, we're blessed all over. If you're in Palm Beach County, the blessing hasn't stopped. But, you know, to have an agency like that is so helpful. So many layers of of help. Speaking of layers, the layers of time have worn away. And I hate to say this because there's always more to talk about, Donna, when you come, which is why we get you back. But we have to say goodbye. Donna, thank you for being here, being willing to share. We got 10 seconds.
10 seconds? Happy Veterans Day to all my brothers and sisters in arms.
Amen. Yes, thank you, and thank you for your service.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.